Alright, we'll start with Ask, please.
I would never do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mary Boston. I'm here this morning representing the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. And we represent about 3,200 folks working at OHSU. And I'm not going to read the testimony. You're all getting copies of it. I'll just summarize it and be brief. We believe that OHSU is truly the crown jewel of the Oregon healthcare system and deserves and needs to be funded at appropriate levels. We have the dubious honor of being charged with some of the most awesome duties of providing long-term and short-term care to some of the sickest and the poorest Oregonians. Many of us, probably many of you, can tell stories about OHSU, you know, Pill Hill, The Hill, whatever you know it as, however long you've been here, about friends or family members or friends of friends or yourselves who have benefited from something that is produced or created at OHSU in the way of modernized and cutting-edge medical services. Just as an aside, I was thinking that coming down this morning about all the people that I know that used to be in this building who, or still are in this building, who benefited directly from OHSU. Former Representative Rick Kotulski's son today is alive because of OHSU. He was a stillborn birth and was in very critical condition and life flight helicopter flew him from a hospital up in Gresham to OHSU for life-saving care. Marianne Gift, who works for the state treasurer, her son, underwent open-heart surgery at OHSU. There are no end of folks who have benefited either directly or indirectly from the work done at OHSU. We have a unique relationship with the state of Oregon. Senator Harchung, a couple of sessions ago, worked with us and our management counterparts to establish a public corporation. Senator Crow and I had serious reservations about that move, and I think overall it's been a good move. I think that it has helped us be a little more competitive. I think it's helped us move in a different way in the healthcare field, and I think that's important. It's important to note that as you look at OHSU and you think of kind of the cutting-edge services that they provide, the research facility that they have, the training and educational facility that they have, that we also look at, and we look at that workforce, and we all know the, you know, kind of the stars of the world up there. We also have to look at all those other folks on the Hill. And by and large, we represent a lot of those folks that nobody ever sees. You know, the people who keep the floors clean, who scrub the toilets, who cook the food, who serve the food, who develop a special diet, who empty the bedpans and change the sheets. You know, it's not very glamorous work, but it is all part of a team effort. And as OHSU makes giant strides towards medical breakthroughs, these folks are the pieces that keep the engine running. They are the folks who grease the gears and make sure that the clocks are running on time. You know, you just can't do soft tissue transplants. You just can't do liver and organ transplants. You just can't do it if the operating room hasn't been cleaned. And that is what our folks do. We are an integral part of the overall system up there. This budget, like a lot of budgets this session, has a little shortfall. And we are supporting OHSU's request for an additional $4.4 million. And we do think, Madam Chair, you know that I'm not big on these unrestricted funds. You know, I want this money. I want to know where it's going, how it's going to get there, and who's going to get it when it lands. But in this case, I probably am going to, I mean, we are supporting the idea of unrestricted funds, mostly because OHSU, as a healthcare facility, needs the flexibility to put those funds where they are needed at that moment. And healthcare, unlike a lot of areas, is a little more undefined in some areas than other areas of the budget. And I do think they need a little more flexibility up there. I think that the idea that they can use it to expand in areas where they need to, or you know, that recognizes the expansion and contraction of a healthcare budget and healthcare needs and a teaching facility. I don't have a lot more to say other than our folks work real hard up there. They are very proud to be a part of kind of the OHSU team. They're proud to be a part of what we consider to be one of the leading hospitals on the West Coast in research and diagnosis. You know, all of the programs that we have up there, everything from neonatal to the Poison Control Center to Dornbecker and Shriners and, you know, the whole network of medical services at the Hill are very, very important. And, you know, even though we all get cranky with each other once in a while, it is important to note that we recognize this is one of the premier facilities. And, you know, by a large part, we can thank Mark Hatfield for that. You know, we need a new godfather in D.C., and I'm sure that Senator Wyden and Senator Smith will be able to fill those shoes eventually, but they're pretty big shoes. So, anyway, having said that, I'd be happy to answer any questions or respond to any concerns you may have.
Any questions?
Are you such an easy group?
Yes.
Just say yes. It's a good thing.
Right. I just wanted to say how much we appreciate your work of your groups there, and I think that you are right. You can't do any kind of exotic surgery without a clean operating room, and I think that the medical science in some other countries really suffers from that underpinning, and we really appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. All your
Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Tony Baker, the Legislative Director of the Oregon Student Association. So I wish I was a student in a wonderful medical school, as I dreamed of being a doctor when I was little, instead I'm sitting here before you as a lobbyist. Yahoo Council is a member of the Oregon Student Association, and what's being passed out to you is a letter by the president of the Yahoo Council, which I would like to just read a little part of it, or read it to you for the record.
Could you pull your microphone up?
Dear Chairwoman Minnis and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to submit testimony regarding Oregon Health Sciences University's budget request. As president of OHSU's All Hill Council, I wanted to be sure that the committee was aware of the student concerns regarding OHSU's budget. The All Hill Council hopes that the state will continue its partnership with OHSU. We want OHSU to stay strong in its public missions, specifically education and providing charity care. OHSU's public missions are valued statewide, and we need to ensure they continue on a stable basis. The education and outreach missions will never be self-sustaining. And although the change to a public corporation has made OHSU more efficient, the institution faces serious financial issues. Together with its board, the institution will need to make strategic decisions to remain financially viable should state funds be held flat or even further reduced. If OHSU is flat funded for another biennium, it will become increasingly difficult for OHSU to operate its public programs. The implications for current and future OHSU students are very serious. Without adequate funds, programs may be cut, tuition could be raised, and OHSU's indigent care might be scaled back. Many of our students have selected OHSU because of its commitment to help the less fortunate. OHSU provides community service programs through the state, including care for underserved populations and educational programs for healthcare providers. OHSU's hospitals and clinics provide twice the state average of uncompensated medical care. Compared to other hospitals, OHSU treats patients who are sicker or who have more complicated conditions. Treating these patients often costs more than the Oregon Health Plan or managed care plans will pay. Should programs be eliminated or scaled back, students could be forced to transfer, possibly adding several years and many dollars to their already lengthy and expensive health professional education. OHSU's 1999-2001 base budget request of $112.32 million covers the basic cost of continuing to provide current services. These state dollars are directly used to subsidize OHSU's public missions. It's extremely important that the state maintain its commitment to the health and educational welfare of Oregonians by funding OHSU's inflationary roll-up request. As a dental student, I believe it's very important that the state takes a serious look at funding OHSU's added budget programs. OHSU's budget request includes funding to reinstate the pediatric residency program in OHSU's School of Dentistry to help respond to the ongoing access problem for children in Oregon who need to be treated by a pediatric dentist. Unfortunately, there is currently a shortage of pediatric dentists who can handle dental care in a hospital setting, can administer anesthesia, or can treat the very young and behaviorally challenged patients. The state will see very real benefits from reinstating the pediatric residency program, as well as from providing funding for the AHEC program and the School of Nursing's graduate nursing program. It's also very important for the state to recognize the quality and value of OHSU's current faculty. Several of our students have selected OHSU over other highly recognized institutions based on the quality of faculty that teach at the university. Without our inflationary roll-up, the university will be at a disadvantage in recruiting and retaining top-notch faculty. OHSU is Oregon's only academic health center, the only institution combining teaching, patient care, research, and community service through the state. Adequate funding for OHSU is vital to prepare the next generation of health professionals. OHSU continues to get stronger and stronger amongst the national rankings of its professional schools. We see here that flat or reduced funding, which could result in a move towards privatization, will throw the university into a turmoil that could severely harm student recruitment and retention, as well as the university's national rankings. Please join the All-Hill Council in showing our unanimous support behind OHSU's budget request. Request wishes to Billy Chris Carter, who's the new president of the All-Hill Council.
Thank you. Are there any questions this morning? Thank you very much. We're going to have Doris Williams, Deborah Fisher, and Paula DeRue. How are you? You can come on up. State your name and where you're from for the record.
Paula Gubrud Howe, and I'm from Boring, Oregon.
I'm Doris Williams, and I'm the director of the nursing program at Shenandoah Community College.
I'm Deborah Fisher. I work at Salem Hospital in nursing administration.
I'm here to offer the perspective of an ABN nurse educator. I'm the co-director of the program at Mount Hood Community College. And I'm here to encourage you to grant OHSU's budget request from the perspective of nursing education in the state. OHSU provides baccalaureate education. They also provide the education needed for ABN grads to get their BSN, their bachelor's of nursing, throughout the state. Their rural program throughout the state has been very effective in educating nurses from the urban centers to southern Oregon to eastern Oregon. We also are in need of increased master-prepared nurses. This is a special difficulty in the ABN system because we are facing a severe faculty shortage. Our regulatory rules require that our ABN educators are master prepared, and our primary source for that labor pool is through OHSU's master program. That current shortage of master prepared nurse educators is a problem this year, and we're projecting that it will become critical within the next 3 to 4 years. So I encourage you to grant the funds requested by OHSU so that the care of Oregonians will continue throughout the state.
I also want to reinforce what Paula has said about the critical shortage of nursing instructors. We are, as Paula mentioned, required by both the State Board of Nursing and our national accreditors to employ nursing instructors who are prepared at a master's or higher level. And we're all seeing now as we group together to look at our vacancies for this next year. There are 13 community colleges in the state. 9 of them are recruiting for faculty. We have at least 13 vacancies in the state now. We are predicting, because of retirements, that number will be maybe a steady number over the next few years in terms of our replacement needs. And I can share with you Chemeketa's experience. This year I have 2 vacancies, and we advertised nationally, and I got 1 application for my 2 vacancies. So we are seeing a critical shortage of available qualified nursing instructors, and this is in the context of a general nursing shortage, which has only recently gotten the attention of the media, and we are beginning to alert the public and others who need to know about the fact that the nursing and yet another nursing shortage is upon us. And so I speak in support of the part of the budget package that would grant OHSU School of Nursing funds to develop an outreach program for graduate education in the state. The school already tries to provide outreach for graduate education, and yet what they have done is establish a rotating campus kind of an outreach program so that the program is available this year in a certain place and next year in another place, and it's not available statewide. The proposal before you would allow OHSU by distance delivery methodologies to extend the program throughout the state. It would be more flexible for people's time. And as I think many of us know, when you can learn what you need to know in the place where you live, you tend to stay there and apply what you know in that place. And so it will benefit schools throughout the state as far as preparing master's level nurses. I would like to speak to OHSU School of Nursing's history in terms of the nursing education community in the state of Oregon. I came here in 1990, and since that time I have found them to be a very responsive and responsible partner in the nursing education community. They have an undergraduate outreach program mostly in Eastern Oregon, but they have made their baccalaureate program available through that means in areas that otherwise students would not have access. And they have worked closely with the community colleges to develop an articulation agreement between the two-year schools and the baccalaureate level schools the baccalaureate program at OHSU that makes a seamless articulation. Our students finish our two-year programs, they can go straight into the four-year program at OHSU without any hitches, and some of them complete then within 15 months after they graduate from the two-year program. So that's a smooth pathway, a good partnership. I have found OHSU to be very responsive, and I do support the proposal that's before you for funding graduate education on an outreach basis. Thank you.
I'd like to give you just a little bit of perspective on the nursing shortage. As Doris mentioned, it's only recently hit the media, but we've been experiencing this for several years now, and I think it's a shortage that's different than what we've seen in the past. We've seen some cyclical shortages, but this one, as you look at the nursing population in general, is of much more concern to those of us in the healthcare provider setting. We know we need more nurses for a number of reasons. Particularly in Oregon, we have a growing and an aging population, which certainly means that we have more people to take care of and more nursing hours required. Our nurses are getting older. The average age of an RN nationally is now about 44 years old. In 1980, that was 36. We have fewer younger people going into nursing. And what that means, of course, is that we don't have the supply there at this point in order to replace those nurses that we expect to retire within the next 10 to 15 years. In fact, nationally, what we expect to see is that our supply
will, or our demand rather, will exceed our supply by the year 2010 unless we do something to make a change in this. Obviously, the way to change that is to get more nurses educated, and the only way to do that is to have sufficient faculty in order to meet those needs. We also, in addition to simply needing more RNs educated in the state, we need those people who have an advanced degree of knowledge. We have more complex care that we're being provided at this point. We have more chronically ill people who are living longer. Our technology has increased. Our requirements both for baccalaureate and graduate prepared nurses is steadily growing.
Any questions? Senator Hartman?
Besides OHSU, is the Good Sam Linfield the only other nursing education program in the state?
There are 13 associate degree nursing programs in the state. There are 5 baccalaureate programs. Good Samaritan, the Good Samaritan Linfield is one. There's also the University of Portland and Walwell College. OHSU is the only public funded, and there's a significant difference in tuition between the public and the private school. So for many of my students who want to go on after earning their associate degree, OHSU is really the only option because of the financial circumstance.
Another question. During this legislature, we're making a very big effort to enhance the professionalization of teachers. It's going to be 2 million short, we're told, in the year 2000. Nationwide, and can you think of things that, or what would be your suggestion on how we do that, you know, for a regular licensed teacher, because I think it relates to what we're trying to do to recruit more RNs. Well, what's the single most important thing you would tell us to do, this legislature, in terms of the teaching profession? I'll rephrase it. The most important thing then is to bring more young people into the nursing profession at the public and the private institutions.
Most of the programs now in the state are operating at capacity. That is, they're taking, their enrollments are such, their applications are such that they're enrolling to the capacity that they have already. And the capacity is limited not just by the number of faculty you have, but by the number of clinical facilities that you have where you place your students for their experience and their various rotations to develop skills. So I think that, one of the things that occurs is that in a public community college, I have to compete salary-wise to hire someone with a master's degree who can make a whole lot more than I can pay them. So a part of my recruitment, what would be helpful to us in the community colleges, if the budgets in the community colleges allowed us to compete on a realistic level financially with the private sector.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
And we're going to close the public hearing and open the work session on 5048. Steve, you want to walk us through the LFO recommendation?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. There are two documents that I would like to refer to in my explanation of the LFO recommendation for this budget. The first is this sheet that's titled Detailed LFO Recommendations. And the second one is a packet of materials that OHSU has provided that I put together that has a chart like this that shows pass-through payments on the first page. Also, we redistributed a copy for each of you of House Bill 5048 to look at as we go through these recommendations. Our first recommendation, Madam Chair and members, is a technical correction in this bill. House Bill 5048 was drafted to include appropriations not only for OHSU, but also for the Oregon Historical Society and Oregon Public Broadcasting, and we recommend and ask you to remove from this bill the appropriations for the Oregon Historical Society and Oregon Public Broadcasting, because they are being funded in separate bills in the general government subcommittee.
Yeah. Why is this the case? Why were those ever associated with this budget bill?
The reason why they were associated, we did not ask that the bill be drafted this way, but the reason why they were associated together is all of these entities are not state agencies, and they receive their funds through a pass-through through the DAS budget. So that is what the three have in common.
Convenience from that standpoint. There's no other relationship.
There's no other relationship. The next recommendation of LFO, the ending of this recommendation will be to recommend that you approve the budget note. But what this budget note will refer to is what's a very important situation in OHSU's budget, which is the pass-through, the Medicaid pass-through issues. There have been a number of changes from the current biennium in how Medicaid pass-through payments are expected to be used, and LFO believes it's very important to clarify this and to put this on the record as to what the expectations for the use of these funds are, because they have in the past been used to fund various other sources besides OHSU. And the understanding is that beginning in the 99-01 biennium, that OHSU will retain for its own use the federal Medicaid, what we could just shorten to say pass-through, that it's eligible to receive. If I could take just a few moments to describe what we're talking about here. Under federal Medicaid rules, there are two sets of payments, which, again, are often referred to as pass-through payments. One set of these payments are known as disproportionate share hospital funding, and it's usually, or it's often called by the acronym DSA, DISH payments. So you may hear them referred to as DISH payments. DISH payments are available to medical facilities that serve a disproportionately high share of lower-income Medicaid patients. OHSU, because of the patients that it serves, is eligible for these DISH payments. And during the current biennium, however, approximately $7.5 million of OHSU's DISH payments are being paid to the Department of Human Resources to help support the budget of the Oregon State Hospital. The reason for this is not totally arbitrary. The reason is that the DISH payments had been used to support the Oregon State Hospital budget in the past, but federal law changes in 1997 restricted the amount of the DISH payments that could be used to support the Oregon State Hospital. And as this budget gap was realized during this biennium, OHSU entered into an agreement with DHR, essentially allowing the state hospital to use $7.5 million of the DISH payments that OHSU's operations generated. OHSU and the Department of Administrative Services have agreed to and entered into a memorandum of understanding that they will not ask OHSU to do this again beginning in the 99-01 biennium, which is to say that OHSU will retain these DISH payments. And LFO believes it's important to put this into a budget note to clarify that this memorandum of understanding is understood and approved of by the legislature. There's a second set of pass-through payments that are called graduate medical education funding that also flow through the federal Medicaid program. These are payments that are designed to reflect the fact that certain hospitals, those hospitals with teaching functions, which of course the University Hospital of OHSU is the primary example in this state, have higher costs of treatment than non-teaching hospitals, which are usually referred to as a community hospital. The reason for this is that for any particular procedure at a teaching hospital, it's not possible to be as, quote, efficient in the economic sense, or, you know, seeing the same number of patients or what have you, because during the procedure there are teaching functions that are going on, students are being shown how these procedures are done. This increased the cost, and the federal Medicaid program allows additional payments for the graduate medical education, because this is the funding of the intern program for medicine. OHSU has discovered a way that they can receive additional graduate medical education pass-throughs without the need for an additional state general fund match, which is typically the way that it would be done. But they have discovered that the federal legislation will allow additional graduate medical education pass-throughs of about somewhere in the range of 18, a minimum of 18, but perhaps as much as $22 million per year to the university. They will start receiving these payments for the current fiscal year. That's to say, it's not the 91-901 biennium yet, but for the last year of this biennium. What OHSU will do with their graduate medical education funding pass-through payments this biennium is, again, they have agreed to share $7.5 million to help cover this gap, this hole in the Oregon State Hospital budget for the next biennium. So they have agreed to do this. However, the understanding is that this will only be a one-time payment, and the graduate medical education funding for activities beginning in the 1999-01 biennium and thereafter will be retained by OHSU to help the university recover its extra costs that these operating a teaching facility that these funds are designed to compensate for. So,
why haven't they been maximizing these already? The possibility of getting these funds,
Senator. The state was not aware of all of the provisions that were allowed to it in order to maximize these funds. This is something that has become known recently as a result of OHSU hired a consultant who has expertise in this field. It will require the state to obtain from the federal government what's known as a state plan amendment for our Medicaid program, and the Department of Human Resources will go ahead and pursue that amendment.
Is that fully possible to get that amendment?
My understanding is that there is, it's essentially assured that we will be able to get that amendment. I don't think that it has been approved as of this date, but I've not heard anticipations of there being problems with this, and I would ask if that's not the case, if this is, there's some risks here.
Surely there's a record of other hospitals doing this.
Of course, would you like to come up and address that?
Nice to find this. Hog money.
For the record, my name is Pete Kohler, Marine Health Science University. There is some element of risk here. This is something that has been discovered as the result of hiring this consultant and has been carried out in a few other states. But we do have to get this agreed upon by the HICPA region, and the ceilings have to be appropriately adjusted and so forth. It is our understanding that this is possible, although setting the base year, makes a difference in terms of how much money will be available, and that's still being analyzed as far as I know.
So you think it's the possibilities are good enough that we can go ahead with this and you can make a commitment to fund the state hospital out of this or supervise some additional money for the state hospital?
We have agreed to do that. I think the fact that the state hospital is also dependent on this. We'll make sure we all work as hard as we can together to get this money. But I think this was an unexpected finding for this current year. We do have, I just noticed, and I hadn't, and I don't know whether Mr. Bender was going to comment on it or not. We are currently running a deficit projected to be somewhere in the range of $10 to $11 million this year for our combined program. So this would work out in such a way that could be taken care of if we get the amount of money that's anticipated, plus there could still be some money for the state hospital. But as Mr. Bender has indicated, we would like, number one, some credit and thanks for doing this, as it is money that was intended to come to us, and number two, an understanding that we don't have to keep doing it, because we thought we had an understanding, you know, before, and I think it's very important to somehow get this on the record, that everybody now knows that the state hospital, which we, of course, support, needs to find some other source for support in the future. After this biennium, I guess it's clear it's money from this year that will forward fund two more years of the state hospital. So it's after that 2 years then that they need to find other resources. All these things are in a state of flux at the federal level. The Medicare pass-throughs are ratcheting down. There is great outcry around the country, as you may be aware, with regard to how our academic health care is going to survive in this environment with the traditional role we have with indigent care. Nationally, 45% of the indigent care is provided by teaching hospitals, so it's of concern to us.
Any other questions?
A follow-up on this. Doing this, allowing them the maximum Medicaid funding under the disproportionate share, does the state lose any matching capacity by allowing them to do this, or is there an unlimited? Does this affect any of our capacity to match our own programs, our own Medicaid programs?
I understand there's a cap for the disproportionate share.
I don't think the state loses any potential, but that's why the ceiling needs to be raised, though. That's the adjustment that's necessary.
Okay, so that's one of the things in the state plan amendment that would raise the cap so that we wouldn't, in fact, have to be giving up matching capacity.
That's correct. And the matching that's being done, the state will not have to match this. That's one of the
advantages. I understand that.
And our costs are really what's being used for the match. Right. So our costs are about $63 million for the biennium, but part of those are what actually provide the match.
And, sir?
Senator
Peter, I assume that our congressional delegation is aware of what we are trying to do here and that you've been in communication with them.
We have, and they think this is an appropriate, they think it's appropriate that we get the money that's supposed to be passed through to us. We haven't gone into the details of the agreement with them. I think when I get, I'm not sure I'm officially here or whether I'm answering questions still, but when I get here, I do want to say some comment about the importance of the state partnership with regard to education. I know a subject near and dear to you. And this relates to our other, part of our other mission, which is the care for the poor, the Medicaid population, and the uncovered.
I just want to emphasize, you know, if Senators Wyden and Smith are aware of what you're trying to do, they have a very great impact on the federal funds. So I encourage you to pursue them.
Representative
Winters? Thanks, Madam Chair. That was quite a find that the consultant came up with.
Very much so.
Particularly if there's no match that's required. And I hope we can find some more consultants like that.
Well, we were certainly glad to have found this. And if there are others out there, we'll hunt.
Yeah. Thank
you. I wanted to ask you again to go back over the relationship here of the $7.5 million to the Oregon State Hospital. Now, have you made all the payments to them that you're going to, or is there more money to this?
There's more money that they will receive as a result of the agreement that we have with them.
Okay.
That we have with, really, you, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. And a follow-up, could you explain briefly how this arrangement was made in the first place, where money that was obviously headed to you wound up going to them?
Well, I think the agreement originally occurred as a result of trying to be a good partner with the state in terms of the state's overall needs. A phone call was made to Jim Walker, who is our CFO, saying that the budget for us was set, but that there was a way, using the disproportionate share part of the payment cost, to help fund the state hospital. And would we be willing to have that occur? We said yes, as long as everybody understands this is sort of a one-time fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened this past time. Now, going forward, the problem was that somehow this appeared to be viewed as an ongoing commitment, unintended by us to be that. But we do recognize that the state hospital also has to be funded, therefore, I think we have agreed to do it one more time with this money. It was supposed to come to us, but after that, the state needs to take responsibility for the mental health problems.
Thank you.
Was that arrangement because, excuse me, because of federal logistics, or why you need to be the grant receiver?
We had to agree to it from the federal point of view so that it could
look
in that direction. Yeah.
Can Oregon State Hospital deal direct with the federal agency?
I'm not sure about that. This disproportionate share relates to our patient, the character of our patients, the numbers that are Medicaid, and the fact that we do a larger number than most other institutions. And I'm not sure how that would actually affect the state hospital. The other set of pass-throughs, of course, relate to education. That's the newfound money.
It's just an observation, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me the state hospital would have some of the same kinds of patients that you would have, Medicaid patients, low-income people that would qualify.
I don't know how they operate financially, though. That's the difference, whether they receive Medicaid patients, Medicaid payments, or exactly how that works.
There's several these type of hospitals throughout the country. Are they dipping into this graduate medical education? What is the future of this source of funding be sort of discovered by other folks and diminished as a result of this? Or how is this possibly going to work in the future?
Yes. I don't know how this is going to play out at the federal level. I think that states are just carefully looking at this, and I think we're finding a responsiveness on the part of HCRA, because so many academic health centers are in so much trouble right now. You know, the projected losses at the UCSF Stanford, I think I mentioned before, are almost $200 million a year. The partners in Boston are losing $1.5 million a week. And HCRA is trying to figure out how do we help these institutions that do provide so much important care for the poor. And I don't know, it'll be tied up in their overall budget appropriation, but I think there will be an increasing awareness now of the fact that this money can be made available under certain circumstances, and how that impacts their budget is going to be hard to tell. So I think there is an element of risk in this, as with anything else, in terms of a permanent fix for us or for other people.
Okay. Well, you may as well stay there. I think we'll forward him, if you don't mind.
So, Madam Chair, members, we would ask you to approve the budget note that begins on the bottom of page one. Well, let me state that there is a typo in the sentence before that, where that budget note starts. The last sentence where it says the legislative fiscal office recommends that the subcommittee adopt the following budget. Not, it should be budget notes.
To clarify
the application. But the budget note would read as follows.
The subcommittee understands that the temporary arrangement whereby the Department of Human Resources has been using the Oregon Health Sciences University's disproportionate share hospital capacity will not continue into the 1999-01 biennium. OSU will be able to continue to generate DSH payments for its own use beginning in the 1999-01 biennium, and OSU will provide the required matching funds. As Buddyville continues, the subcommittee further understands that the Department of Human Resources will actively pursue a state plan amendment with the Healthcare Finance Administration to allow OHSU to receive the maximum amount of federal Medicaid graduate medical education funding that the university may legitimately claim, and that OHSU will provide the matching, the required matching funds. This is the activity that's the result of the consultant study. The enhanced graduate medical education funding so received OHSU for expenses incurred beginning in the 1999-01 biennium shall be retained by OHSU for its own use. So we believe that this would help clarify that these, first of all, the graduate medical education monies are for OHSU, and that the arrangement whereby the state hospital has been funded through the DSH capacity payments will end.
Senator Nelson.
Well, I understand that 7.5 will be paid out of this biennium.
Correct.
But it will have to fund it for the next biennium?
That's correct.
I'm sure.
Senator Schell.
What are the matching rates for both of these funds?
40 to 60 approximately.
40 to 60 for each of them.
40 state to 60 federal.
Okay, continue.
So you can make the money on it, even though you have to provide your own mission.
Okay.
Well, again, we'll use our costs. See, we've already spent the cost. That's the thing. These are all related to our costs, which we've already incurred.
So it is a real deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any objections to this particular budget note? Okay, continue, Steve.
Our next recommendation, which is listed as number 3, is to request that you approve a second budget note on a related but not exactly the same issue. This deals with the situation that we request that the committee acknowledge OHSU's payment to support the Oregon State Hospital operations out of its receipt of enhanced federal Medicaid funding for graduate medical education, and clarify the expectation that this is a one-time payment that will not be repeated. Unlike the DSH situation, where the state hospital has a history of getting funding from this source, the graduate medical education source of funding is really a different situation, and OHSU, by agreeing to provide $7.5 million, is really helping out that the state hospital in this situation. So we would recommend that the subcommittee approve the budget note that you see on the bottom of page 2, which says that the subcommittee acknowledges the payment by the Oregon Health Sciences University of $7.5 million out of enhanced federal Medicaid graduate medical education funding for the 1997-99 biennium. That's the funds they're receiving for this biennium, to the Department of Human Resources to support the operation of the Oregon State Hospital. This payment represents an extraordinary effort by OHSU, no additional payment for graduate medical education or disproportionate share hospital funds for this purpose are expected. And we ask that you approve the following finding. The subcommittee finds that DSH payments and enhanced graduate medical education funds are appropriately retained by OHSU to allow the university to partially recover unreimbursed costs related to its indigent care and educational functions.
Senator Detroit.
This has some concern about being so specific in the budget note to explain where the $7.5 million is coming from, because I'm wondering if that is a legitimate expenditure of that particular fund. Wouldn't it be better to come from DSH or from some other part of your resources and just say that you provide this money rather than naming this in a budget note that's going to be public record?
Well, the other, suppose we don't get it.
If you don't get it, you don't have to be obligated.
That's right.
Okay. This is your insurance policy.
Right. And it's a thank you also.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
That's great.
Do we have any objections to the budget?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I go on to the fourth and final recommendation, I would like to go back to this other set of materials that begins with that chart. I just wanted to explain to you that what will be happening or what's projected to happen with the pass-through payments, especially since you've approved these budget notes and made it clear how these pass-through payments should flow. The first one shows what's been happening to OHSU's Medicaid pass-through payments historically, and you can see that this is the decline that they've been facing. Because of the additional graduate medical education funds that they're expecting for the next fiscal year that isn't on here, which is the 98-99, they're expecting to receive a net of about $18 million, of which they will be sending $7.5 million to DHR. So that leaves them about $10.7 million projected additional pass-throughs. So basically, for the next year, instead of it being the $12 million, you'd be roughly at the $22 million level because you would add the 10 and 7 to what they're getting.
Just say it
again.
The projected Medicaid pass-through payments for 1998-99 fiscal year would be in the $22 million range when you add in the graduate medical education funding that they are allowed, that they will be retaining. They don't retain all of it. And then for the next biennium, it would be in roughly the $30 to $34 million range per year because they would be able to retain all of their additional graduate medical education funding as well as they would not be required to send $7.5 million of their DISH funding. So this, as you can see, will reverse this decline in Medicaid pass-through payments.
Again,
it's very important to the university.
Again, the amount of money in the 99,000.
On an annual basis, we would be between $30 million and $34
million. A year.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is that correct?
A year or biennial?
I think that's a biennial number.
I'm adding that to the base of the 12 that we already have per year. Because my understanding is that that's the additional over what you would be getting.
So that's a total?
Yes, these are all total.
Thank you.
If you look at the next page, this shows OHSU's projections for net income. As Dr. Kohler mentioned, for the 1999 year, which is showing a loss of $10.6 million, if we do that to $10.7 million in an additional graduate medical education, that would basically wipe out their loss, which is what that's what he had been referring to. For the year 2000 and 2001, this shows the net income to the university at the projection of an additional $15 million in pass-throughs per year. But since this projection was developed, we now believe that these pass-throughs will actually be more than $15 million per year. They'll probably be 18 to perhaps as much as $21 or $22 million per year. So if they were at the $18 million level per year, you would just add $3 million to each of those 2 years. So in other words, the projected surplus for the year 2000 would be about $5.4 million, and for the year 2001 would be about 3.4 million, which is showing that the institution should be able to cover its costs as best can be projected. Though, as you see, the requirement level, the university would like to be able to show a net income of over $20 million per year to represent a margin that would help the university in the capital markets and to replace, to continue to upgrade and replace its equipment. So the situation, you know, OHSU still face significant challenges in the upcoming biennium, but they will, you know, be in the black as best as we can tell.
Madam Chair, if I could just again say, remember these monies are based on our costs.
Right.
So it's like 60% return of our cost that we're receiving from the federal government. That's how it's derived.
Yeah. Any questions? All right.
Madam Chair, members, our final recommendation is a recommendation regarding the general fund support for OHSU. LFO is recommending that you increase the funding for OHSU by $4 million above the level in the governor's budget, and that this $4 million be used to support nursing and dentistry programs and the Area Health Education Center, or AHEC, program. If you read the bold language in number four there, Ben talks about approving certain recommended levels. What I'm referring to is if you do look at your bill, you'll see that there are actually four line items in there for the way that the state provides funds to OHSU. We're recommending that that first one, the education and general support, that you increase that by $4 million and that you retain the governor's level for support of the hospitals and clinics for the CDRC and the separate line item amount for the AHEC centers. We recommend this because of needs relating to nursing and dentistry education programs. You heard today from specifically about some of those nursing program needs. What we recommend is that you provide $1.75 million, this is all above the governor's level, to be added to fund nursing education, and $1.75 million to be added to increase the support for the School of Dentistry. This would rep.
Does that get us pediatric training program?
Senator Gordon.
I had a similar question because in the testimony that we received from Chris Carter, president of the OHSU All Health Council, in her written testimony, and I believe she said this on the record as well, that OHSU's budget request includes funding to reinstate the pediatric residency program in OHSU's School of Dentistry to help respond to the ongoing access problems for children in Oregon who need to be treated by a pediatric dentist. Mm-hmm. And what we're hearing from you, Steve, is that that is not part of this request. Is that
Senator Gordley, that is not part of what this recommendation would fund because the level of funding is less than OHSU required or requested to establish the pediatric residency program, the residency in pediatric dentistry. They had requested for that program $2 million, is that right? Yes, I'm sorry, $2 million for that program. And the available funds are at the $1.75 million level. What they would use these funds for is, again, if you look at this other packet here, on the final page of this other packet, they were asked, the co-chair, chair of the subcommittee asked what they would do or could do if they received $1.75 million for their School of Dentistry. And this would recommend, this would be equivalent to about a 16% increase in state support for the School of Dentistry, and they would use these funds primarily to recruit key faculty in certain clinical areas where they are needed in that particular program and for curriculum development. But they could not, at that level of funding, establish the residency in pediatric dentistry.
Can you tell us further about this particular piece?
Oh.
The in your language, on page 3, the support for the School of Dentistry Teaching Program will be used primarily to recruit faculty with emphasis on clinical areas. Now, how is primarily being used? Does that mean that all the money is going to be used for recruiting faculty?
Senator, I base that on this information from OHSU, which shows that they would probably spend about $1.45 million of the total, $1.75 million, on faculty. And that was what I meant to suggest. When they implement this, it may be a little bit more or a little bit less, but that's clearly the intention here when you look at how they have responded.
Let me just say that I am very concerned that as we look at this request for an increase, that it does nothing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it does nothing to address the access problem that we have for children in Oregon who do have pediatric needs. And that need is also addressed in the Oregon Social Support Strategy, which we're all trying to implement. So I'm uncomfortable with this, but just need to hear more. I also have a question about AHEC, but I can wait to get there if there are other questions about this.
I'm
sure.
In terms of the way OHSU operates now as a public trust, they're going to have additional funds, especially if they're fortunate in getting the recommendations for the medical training funds and so forth. Is it possible that you could use some of those additional funds that you're going to have that are pass-through funds to implement this program? You're certainly building your staff with the monies that we're going to give in the base so that your teaching staff for dentistry should be improved. Looks like you might be able, with the additional monies that you're going to get in the pass-through, to implement this program.
The teaching staff at the dental school has been marginal in terms of numbers. Now, we have done, a tremendous job in maintaining a high-quality institution. But remember that our history for the dental school, actually for the entire institution, has been several years of cuts and then a leveling for the last couple of years with the exception of the AHEC program. The dental school, it needs additional faculty members, and that, I think, we shared the concern about pediatric dentistry and, of course, support it. The question is, how much will it cost and what else do we have to do? We would be looking at other ways to try to find help, but I think the dental school needs to get its base established well. We have a new dean, a very dynamic individual who is working hard to build the dental school. Frankly, she needs to recruit some new people. Same thing is true of the nursing school. If we're going to do the statewide graduate education program, we need faculty members who can do that. That's where the 1.75 for each of the schools would logically go. Now, the pediatric dentistry program is an unsolved problem that we do need to figure out how to address.
You're going to have 10.7 at least additional pass-through dollars and more in the future, and maybe some of those funds could go to establishing some of these programs.
Well, if you see, we also have a $10.7 million deficit to correct as well. So we
have problems more than
us. As you know, I think there has to be a level of trust here that we do the right thing, which we've done so far. So we'll expect to continue to do that.
Senator Gordon?
What is the cost Dr. Kohler, of the pediatric residency program?
It's about a $2 million initial setup with then a $1 million recurring cost that goes with that. So $1 million of it is really facility related, and the other $1 million would be an ongoing expense.
Okay. I would just share the same concern that Senator Petrillo has already stated, that $3 million, you should be able to find that.
Any other questions? Okay. Dave, continue.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The recommendation would also be adding up to that $4 million that I referred to would be another $1.75 million for nursing programs, which would represent about a 17% increase in general fund support from the current biennium level for the School of Nursing. If you look at the page before the page that describes the dentistry teaching program, this indicates how OHSU would spend that $1.75 million, and that they would use this money to support nursing education to help meet the needs for staff nurses, nurse practitioners, and the master's prepared nurse educators, which you heard about the need for to serve as community college faculty. And the additional funds would be used to provide with a focus in rural areas of the state. It would include funds for faculty, program development, and also converting courses so that they could be taught through the lab.
Any questions?
And finally, we recommend that within the rest of, so far that adds up to $3.5 million, we recommend an additional $500,000, $500,000, to support the education and general programs of the university, with the understanding that the university will maintain the operations of the Southwest Oregon Regional AHEC, which is losing its federal funding during this biennium. Southwest Oregon AHEC is one of two AHECs that are losing. These programs were established, I think, as a 7-year federal grant. And as the program, there are 5 AHECs, and then the statewide program. As 7 years after the establishment of each of these regional AHECs, they lose their federal funding. This biennium, there are 2 that are losing federal funding. The Southwest Oregon Regional AHEC, which is headquartered in Roseburg, as well as the Columbia Willamette AHEC in Clackamas County. And especially since these programs are especially important in the rural areas, this would provide the funding to offset the loss of federal funds for the Southwest Oregon AHEC.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Steve, that Southwest is my area, and I wanted to ask you, the $500,000 and the amount of that that's allotted to Southwest, how does that relate to where they have been with their funding? Increase, decrease, same?
That, my understanding is, would basically allow them to stay the same. Mm-hmm. We are specifically, LFO is specifically recommending, or our recommendation is that the $500,000 be provided to OHSU with the understanding that they are going to maintain Southwest Oregon AHEC. If they are able to do that for less money than the full $500,000, we believe that they should be able to use savings for whatever other needs they have in education, in their educational programs. But the cost is what is estimated to maintain that particular AHEC at its level. That it's doing.
Well, if I might follow up and just ask Dr. Kohler, what would your take be on that?
This would keep them whole. And what we, of course, always do, and remember, our budget is going to be this time around less than 8% probably from the state for the next biennium, is try very hard to raise money from additional sources wherever they may be, foundations. We have a target foundation in your area of the country that's quite large, and we are very hopeful to get some funds for that for that region. Mm-hmm. But this would, in fact, keep them pretty much level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Senator Gordon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, just seeking a clarification. What we're doing here is it accurate to say that it's a fund shift from Columbia Willamette AHEC to support the Southwest AHEC? Is that inaccurate?
I believe that would not be an accurate statement. What is happening is this is a fund shift of reduced federal support for both AHECs. This would only provide a backfill of state funds for one of those two.
For one of those. My concern is that in that approach, and with the coming loss of funding for the Columbia Willamette AHEC, and let's be real clear about what that involves, it's Washington County, Multnomah, Hood River, Clackamas, Watsonville, and Marion counties. These are counties that contain a very diverse population. This is where many of our people of color populations live. This is where we are trying to improve access to health care for these populations who very often have not had good access and good treatment. And this is also where there's been support for bilingual, bicultural individuals seeking certification as assistants and interpreters. This is where work is going on with the African American Health Coalition, mentoring programs for African American youth interested in health careers. All of this work is taking place within these federal counties. And we are going to lose that in the absence of a plan to save that work. So what I need to hear from you, Dr. Kohler, is what is the plan to achieve some funding that will get us, put us in a position to save the Columbia Willamette AHEC?
The dates at which these AHECs rotate off the federal funding vary. As I recall, the Southern Oregon will rotate off this October, and the Columbia Willamette will be 1 year later. So much of this period will be already covered, but continue to be covered by the federal grant, but it will cease at some point here, at which time we do need to find ways to continue those very important programs. And we anticipate that we will be able to do that. Now, again, we use a variety of ways to try to get funding for most of our programs. Very often this includes gifts and grants and so forth. And my expectation would be that's what we'll have to do again.
So there is a commitment.
Oh, yes.
To find funding for the programs. And I'm not questioning the commitment. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear that there is a plan and right. Put that on the record. And I also want to be very clear that I'm not questioning the need for or support for what needs to happen in Southwest AHEC. I have traveled around the state and been in rural communities and have heard described to me, seen the value of the AHEC program. So I know that this is something that benefits all of our state. I just want to make sure that we have a plan to keep these programs whole.
I might add that our minority recruitment activity tends to be focused in the Columbia Willamette AHEC also, so it makes it particularly important to us.
Yes. Thank you.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you. I guess something Dr. Cole said about the level of trust and then something that Steve said about flexibility. I'm trying to figure out how much flexibility is involved in this $4 million. And when you look at the House bill, I understood you said that $4 million was going to be added to number one, but then that's under the sub one of that section one. Then you have subsection four that supported various health education centers. It seems like that $4 million tied in. I'm just trying to find what the level of flexibility is.
Mr. Madam Chair and Senator Nelson, our recommendation is that the $1.75 million for both the nursing and the dental program be specifically approved for those purposes, and that the institution will have the understanding that they are expected to allocate those funds to those particular schools. For the $500,000, we were just simply recommending that that be put in to their education and general budget. They will probably have to spend almost all of that in order to maintain the Southwest AHEP. That was how the amount was arrived at. It was, we were told that that would be their expected cost. But we did want to allow the university in this case to have some flexibility in case it turned out that they were able to maintain these programs at somewhat less cost. They would be able to use these funds to meet other education and general needs.
It seems like testimony is indicated that the university is always seeking other funds and trying to find other sources. They would be able to find a grant. How, or do they have flexibility to spend that money in other areas, or how is that all? There's this risk involved, as I understand.
LFO's recommendation would be that at least for the 500,000 portion, they would have some flexibility to spend those additional funds elsewhere. If they were able to, for example, if they were able to receive other types of gifts or grants to maintain the Southwest Oregon AHEC, they would then not be restricted from using that portion of the general fund increase for other things.
There would be a restriction on the 8.5.
That would be our recommendation. Yeah.
Seems to me that I don't know quite how that policy would allow the university to be a public corporation to go out and sort of exist by the world. They undertake some risk based on what sort of federal government is going on. If you happen to go out, I mean, what's the incentive for them to go out and try and get some money? Because they know it's coming from the state. Doesn't seem to me there's the area that we're trying to push them. But I have to comment on it.
Senator
Hartsheim,
I'm sorry.
Yes, Peter, does this budget allow the university to continue, for instance, the science program at Beaverton High School?
Yes. The program is important symbolically to us, we think, this $4 million here, because it acknowledges the support for education that we find we would have trouble getting somewhere else. It does allow us to carry forward almost all of our programs. This doesn't mean we aren't going to have to keep looking at what and how well we deliver various activities, but we consider that part of our mission.
But do you receive any funds from the Beaverton School District?
I don't think we get anything. That's a nursing school program, and I think it's
okay.
If there's anything there, it's minimal support. I'm not aware that there's anything there, though.
Representative Burns? Thank you, Madam Chair. And the testimony from Mary, her request was that the OHSU needed an additional $4.4 million in unrestricted funds, and I'm assuming that you deny that request.
That's correct. The cell would be better directed.
Certain
programs.
I guess I would share Senator Nelson's concern. On the one hand, if we're asking the quasi entity, and then so that they can go out and raise money, and then we put strings on them, kind of defeats what we're talking about doing in some respects.
Any other key questions or comments?
Well, Madam Chair, I just have a question to staff.
Okay.
If we are relating the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5048, am I correct in understanding that if we accept all the LFO recommendations, then we would add $4 million to number one in the bill, and that the total would then be $72,424,926.
Is that correct?
With the understanding that in item 4 of your recommendations that 1.75 would go for nursing education, 1.75 would be added to the dentistry school, and then the $500,000 would go to support the Southwest AHEC in Roseburg.
Correct.
Very true.
You heard the very strong testimony and support from the what you call the classified staff or the non-medical staff, talking about how much they appreciate the university and what are you going to be able to handle the roll-up costs for the wage increases that that they will have gotten with this budget.
We hope to. there are a lot of expectations, but we have a very good working relationship with the with AFSCME and with ONA, I think, as well. There certainly are expectations that they're going to have. We do believe that the Medicaid pass-throughs will be helpful in those clinical areas, and as they relate to some of the schools that do more of their teaching directly in the clinical arena, they would be less helpful to the nursing school than dental school because of the way they operate. But as you can see, this proposal before you does nothing for the medical school, more specifically for the question you just asked the members there, or nor for Allied Health, I might add, also. We have a fairly large Allied Health teaching program. We hope to be able to cover that with this money that comes forward. So a lot is riding on the likelihood of getting these passes, and we all have to work together to try to make sure we can secure those.
With your new status, how much flexibility do you have, basically, in terms of moving your money around to meet your needs?
It's hard to move it to the schools. I mean, that's one reason that while this restriction seems not very much in keeping with the public corporation concept, these are the places that need more money right now. And
you're content with
there are a few places that it's hard to move it to, but the nursing school and the dental school are two of those.
So you're content with the budget number, the designation of the 175?
Of course I would prefer it to be less restricted looking, but I'm okay with those. And I'm particularly happy about the other budget votes that you just voted on.
Okay, any other questions?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just one brief one about the Southwest Oregon AHEC. I appreciate the continued support of the program. You know, my district alone has 10.5% unemployment rate, and that's not unusual. It's ongoing. One of the largest users of state services of any community is my own. Wanted to go back and ask once again, with the $500,000 that's allocated for Southwest Oregon AHEC, I think it's my understanding right now that if they do happen to receive grants, that the overall commitment to them is roughly $500,000, and that some of this allocated money, the $500,000, can be transferred then elsewhere within the program.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Kohler, a word about the or a question about the pediatric dental residency program. Now, that program is not in this budget. Is that correct?
Right.
Do you anticipate anytime soon or at all that this could be added at a later time, another biennium?
I can assure you that we'll come back to you in another biennium if it doesn't come through at this time, which it looks like it's not. So we do believe it's a very important program. We would like very much to have it as part of our educational and related care programs, but it's not something we're going to give up on.
Thank you. Just briefly, I would like to make mention of that as well. I've got a longtime friend who's a pediatric dentist in my community who called me about this not long ago. He is nearing retirement age, and he's got obvious concerns about where his practice is going to go and what he wants to do with the practice, and there's no heir apparent, you know, to his practice. He's concerned about the supply coming in.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Kohler. I'd like to add my two cents to you. I received a lot of calls in support of the program, and I would like to encourage you to get that consultant of yours.
Another magic trick.
Another magic trick. But there is a definite need, and we did receive a lot of communication in support of pediatric dentistry. So.
Well, we agree it's an important program. It is one that we like to do.
Okay. Chair, I'd just like to make a brief comment. I would like to thank you, Dr. Kohler, and your staff for bringing this budget together. And there's a lot of give and take, and we appreciate your commitment to helping us and hope that we've helped you in return. Mr. Hendrick, I'm ready for a motion.
Okay. Madam Chair, I also would like to just repeat what you just said, that I think that that their budget presentation was very interesting and one of the best prepared presentations that we've had, and we do appreciate that. I am ready to make a motion that move that we accept LFO's recommendation with regard to House Bill 648, that we remove the Oregon Broadcasting and Historical Society from this bill, that we clarify the understanding that in the beginning of the next biennium, OHSU will retain for its own use the federal Medicare monies that it receives under the disproportionate share arrangement and the graduate medical education funding, with the understanding that this will require a state plan amendment, which we will vigorously pursue, and that $7.5 million will be allocated to the state hospital during this biennium.
Can I just, it's Medicaid.
Excuse me, Medicaid, I'm sorry.
Because there is there's another, yeah.
The important part of this motion is that I'm moving that we accept this does include approval of the budget note as written in the LFO recommendation, which clarifies that this is a one-time thing and is not to be repeated in the future. The understanding and expectation is it won't be repeated in the future. And then the addition to the education and general services allocation for Oregon Health Sciences University of an additional $4 million, of which $1.75 would be used to assist in funding rural nursing education, $1.75 to assist in the dentistry programs, and $500,000 with the expectation that this would support the Southwest Oregon Regional AHEC Center, although that $500,000 continues to be allocated as flexible funding. And it's my understanding that this would end up with a budget of $72,424,926 for general services, education and general services, and the other line items as allocated in the already identified House bill, supported University Hospital Clinic at the $27,882,000, the Child Development Rehabilitation Center at $10,290,000, and the support for the Area Health Education Center is at $1,300,000. And I would move that to the...
I hope you can repeat that motion.
Yeah. I'm not sure to repeat it.
And I would move this to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Brock moves discussion. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I handed out to the committee an article that I saw in the New York Times, which I think describes the situation we heard early on in the early presentation by OHSU about sort of the bind that they're getting in. And it's not just OHSU, but it's a national trend
with teaching hospitals, and the fact that Medicare cuts have really been hammering these institutions, and they do this public service. And, you know, I think OHSU is an extremely refined institution. I was involved early on when they got cut free in 1995. We kind of dodged. I think one of the concerns I have with this recommendation is they did come in and ask about a CSL, and this is sort of a cobbled way to get them there. And I think that policy discussion really hasn't been hammered out in this building. And I guess for me personally, that's still one that perhaps next session we can have a better discussion about. You know, they took off without any new money, and we just sent off higher ed with about a $89 million.
You need to remember all the cuts in the past.
Right. Well, but this is an experiment. They were an experiment. And I'm just suggesting, we've been asking a lot of them, and they've come in asking for a CSL. And I think the critical piece when we look at this article is that they do provide this public side, and as we heard from testimony in Portland, they disproportionately provide the charitable health, which I think is a very good public service. So we got to keep that in mind as we look in the future about how we treat OHSU. I think overall the budget, this is fine, but I think there's a policy discussion that we really haven't had in this building about what's the long-term relationship here with OHSU. They're a fine institution, and appreciate their coming and telling us what's their needs are.
Is there any other discussion? Dr. Corey, you wanted to make closing remarks before we vote?
No, I want to thank you for doing this. I do think that we've been successful. I think the public corporation has worked well. But we do have a partnership ongoing with the state that we don't want you to forget. And I think the educational part of what we do is a very large share of that. We believe we're a very important economic driver to the state as well. And frankly, our research programs, which are pretty much invisible in this presentation, are important. But our public service is something that we think matches up very nicely with education. Those two do go together. And the funding is always highly at risk. For a variety of reasons, but I do appreciate the work that you've done, Madam Chair, and the committee, and thank you for what looks like it's going to pass the recommendation.
Any objections to the motion? House Bill 5048 passed, and we're done. And there's no committee meeting tomorrow. Just go well today.